The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the playoffs are about adjustments. That's what series bring when you see the same team for multiple games over the course of a couple of weeks. You knew the Pacers would make adjustments. You wondered what adjustments the Bucks would make, as Doc Rivers alluded to. We got the win. On paper, everything looked like it worked out pretty well, but there are some things for us to clean up. Those things were not quite specified, but I do think we saw quite a bit of them in this performance tonight. Is really from the onset, the pace of this game was much different than what we saw on Sunday night for Game 1, and it was dictated by the Indiana Pacers, who played at a much, much faster tempo and just dictated the course of this game, getting out and running transition points, their fast break points, transition opportunities, all of it favoring the Pacers by a significant amount, as this best of seven series is now even at a game apiece. 800-855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. That number again, 855-616-1620. And take your thoughts on this Game 2 performance by the Bucks. So the series now shifts back to Indianapolis for game number 3 on Friday afternoon. A 4:30 Central Time tip for that matchup. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Is this starting to feel like last year? When you come into the first round, you're in the exact same spot the Bucks were a season ago, with a few different caveats to point out. But last year, it was even at one game apiece. As the series moved to Miami, we saw the Heat take both of those games and ultimately close out the series in Milwaukee for game number 5. We now shift to Indianapolis, and I think you can expect a pretty raucous crowd for a Pacers team that's back in the postseason. And it's going to be curious to see, interesting to see how this veteran Bucks team responds and what the adjustments they make for Game 3 and onward are. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and start things in Oak Creek, where we catch up with Dale. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so some adjustments for the Bucks for like Game 3 are like playing good defense. Because tonight they didn't play good at all because they lost big time, 109 to something, right? And then, so Giannis was out, but no matter if Giannis is out, he should, they should play better.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dale. I mean, defense is where those adjustments are going to have to come because – look, this was a much quicker-paced game. It played at the style the Pacers want to play this game, and I think that kind of jumped out to you really in the first couple of minutes. You know, the Bucks were hitting shots, but at one point, I believe with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter, it was 29-25. Pacers scored 21 points in each of the first two quarters on Sunday night. That was exactly how the Bucks wanted that game played. Right, you can't get to the point where we're talking about, this is not meant to be disparaging, but Dick Bennett basketball, where you're just pounding the air out of the basketball, taking it all the way down to the last few seconds on the shot clock. Nobody's suggesting that, but getting into this up-tempo style of play and taking shots within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, unless it is a wide-open shot or a layup, is going to play directly into the Pacers' hand. We heard from Doc Rivers after the game on his postgame thoughts. They didn't have great floor spacing. And how many times have we heard from Doc Rivers this season since he took over? You know, the defense is connected to the offense. We have to put our defense in a good spot. And when you don't have floor spacing, when you have kind of herky-jerky possessions, if you're twisting around trying to find the right spot, you should probably kick it out, as we heard Doc describe a few of their possessions tonight. But it just seemed as though the Bucks were not finding that offensive footing. outside of Damian Lillard and Brook Lopez. You did not expect the Pacers to continue to shoot the basketball the way they did in the first half on Sunday night. That picked up in the second half. Tonight, it wasn't even an outlier performance for Indiana. They were an okay three-point shooting team during the regular season. They eclipsed their numbers in this performance tonight, but it was really the second half where they just caught fire and stayed on fire. 44% shooting on threes. It all boiled down to their paint touches and the efficiency they were finding inside of the three-point line. That created those three-point opportunities for the Pacers. We saw some breakdowns defensively, but it was the way the Pacers were doing what the Bucks were not, and that was getting into and touching the paint, scoring in the paint as well, nearly doubling up the Bucks there. 52-36, it was a much more manageable difference in Game 1, and that was not the case tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still plenty of you chiming in. We will hear more of your thoughts after this as we take a look ahead to game number 3. What are the adjustments the Bucks need to make? And on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in this series, which is now even at a game apiece? We'll hear some more from you after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Another good performance from Damian Lillard spoiled tonight after his 35-point outburst in the first half of Game 1. He goes off for 26 in the first half tonight, knocks down 6 three-pointers, finishes with 34 points. But this was really just Damian Lillard and Brook Lopez providing the offense tonight. Bucks scored just 108 points. That duo scored 56 of the 108. Bucks made 13 threes. That duo went 12 of 20 on threes. You take Brook Lopez and Damian Lillard out of the mix, and the Bucks were just 1 of 12 on their three-point attempts. Very similar to what we saw from the Indiana Pacers. So in some ways, the shooting splits flipped, and it was an inverse of what we saw in game number 1. But it's not as simple as the Pacers didn't hit shots in game 1. They did in game 2. And vice versa for the Bucks. There is more to it than that. What that is, we'll get to here in just a moment, but plenty of time to hear from you as well. The adjustments that you would be looking to make, and has this loss tonight done anything to shake your confidence in this series? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and hear from Dick in Port Washington. Dick, I want to start with that second part of the question first. Is your confidence in this series, what was it coming into the series? Did it change after game 1, and did it change after this loss?
Yes and yes. I think winning the first game allowed us to lose the second game.
Yep.
What do we have to do to change? Get Giannis back. We lost on this game on the pain points. No help for Dame. And Siakam, get real. He averages what, on your post-game show, you said, what, 22 points a game? He's in the 30s. That's not going to happen if Giannis is there. I just think that if we get Giannis back, we're going to win this series. I just don't think, for multiple reasons, I think part of it's because they're young. They have no clue. That's why we won on Sunday. If we get Giannis back, Siakam's not going to do it. Chris is going to step up more. And Dame is going to be Dame. I, as strange as it seems, this doesn't surprise me. In fact, I'm somewhat happy we're 1-1. I would be happier with 2-0.
Yeah,
but 1-1, I think we're still there. I really do. Well, and I'm Mr. Gloom and Doom, as you know.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the interesting part is the Bucks win game 1, and I, you know, it wasn't a stunner. They were not favored to win that game, and they were not favored to win the series just before tip of game 1. But they win game one, and it seemed to trigger a, oh, yeah, what were we thinking? They still have Damian Lillard. They're still the veteran team. And you lose game two, and I would assume most of it is going to be, boy, this feels a lot like last year. If it was the inverse, it would be the opposite. If they lost game one and then come back and win tonight, it would be, all right, they're building something, and now it's Indiana, on to Indiana. Let's see if they can carry that momentum. So that's just the weird part about these series. The one thing to point out is, I agree with you, Giannis's return is the biggest adjustment that could be made to this series to help slow down and neutralize Pascal Siakam. But I think the one thing is, you know, the Pacers don't have that postseason experience. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, though, and you don't know any better that you should be rattled.
Right.
And now this is a best-of-five series where three of those five games would be played in Indiana.
Yeah, but you can't tell me. I mean, I disagree with you. It says, well, they were rattled on Sunday. And you know what? Carlisle convinced them that, oh, we still got a chance here, okay? They're still going to think, we won without Giannis playing. It's going to be a whole different game. I just don't believe in Indiana. I just don't. Siakam, come on. There's no way. Maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard, but you know, all we need to do is win one there. And you know what? Even if we don't win both, you come back to Milwaukee, if Giannis plays then, we win that one. The pressure is enormous on Indiana. And they don't know what it is. Everybody on our team except a couple of guys haven't been there before. You know, and none of their guys except Siakam. But you know what? Siakam can't beat us alone.
Well, I mean, he went a long way in doing that tonight. I know it wasn't just Siakam, but yeah, the two guys that have looked the best for the Pacers in this series have been the two guys that have actually played in the playoffs before, or have the most experience in Siakam and Miles Turner.
Right, and I think we have to, in my opinion, I might be way off on this, we need to isolate Brooke more. Not only to make buckets, but to pick up fouls.
Yeah. And thanks for the call, Dick. That is going to be the interesting thing for game three is, you know, I think it's no secret. Doc Rivers knows that's what they have to do. You have to get more paint touches. Look, the Pacers are a good team at scoring in the paint. They were among the best in the league all season long. And a lot of times the misconception about paint scoring is it's Giannis, it's Zion Williamson, it's a big that's just setting up shop around the rim, and that's where he's scoring from. Pascal Siakam scores in the paint. It's anything in that painted area, so just by the free throw line. That's Pascal Siakam's spot. It's dunks and layups that you get a lot of in transition and on the fast break, and that's what Indiana does. So you knew that was going to be a challenge. And in some ways, you may have even said, we're ready to concede. We're not going to win those points in the paint. But it doesn't mean we punt that category. We at least have to do a good job of leveling it out. And that's what the Bucks did on Sunday. Their offense, their shot profile, all of it, it all aligned with their defense and the pace that they were playing at. They passed up good shots for better shots. They did not force shots. We started to see that tonight, and you started to see it at the worst moments, really those two stretches that you can think of. Bucks got it down to a one-point game in the third quarter, and the Pacers went on a run. I think it was a 10-2 run to close the quarter. It's a nine-point game going into the fourth. Early in the fourth, Bucks kept chipping away. You get that big play that, in hindsight, really should have propelled you. Pat Connaughton gets the and one. And it's upgraded to a flagrant. You had a chance to make it a one-possession game, and you didn't. And Indiana went down and hit a three on the other end of the floor. Then you had three straight possessions where you missed shots at the rim. That, more than anything, is what is going to jumpstart a fast break. When you have guards, especially, that are missing layups or shots at the rim, more often than not, that is going to lead to a fast break on the other end, and that's what we saw on three straight possessions. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few more calls trickling in. We will get to you after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
Indiana Pacers even up this best of seven series at a game apiece following a huge performance tonight from Pascal Siakam. And Pacers defense that was locked in and caused a whole lot of problems for the Bucks. I mentioned their offense did them no favors, but give credit to the Pacers defense. And I thought that was one of the more telling things as well. Doc Rivers said, look, we heard over and over, we can't play defense. We proved we can in game one of this series. The Pacers heard the same thing. They proved that they can tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Bob in Menasha. You're up next.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, you can spin this game a lot of different ways, but like you said, that defense, it was fantastic. That's how defense is supposed to be played and so forth. But some people talk about the Pacers being too young and inexperienced. What are they on the year of? Five wins and two losses against the Bucks? Help me out. Is that right? 5-2? Yeah. So they're experienced against the Bucks. They're a good basketball team. But, you know, you can't get outscored. Well, 52-36 in the paint, you know, and Lopez is as hard as he plays out there. I mean, you know, 7-foot-1 guy having two field goals inside the paint is that's not going to cut it. You know, as well as I do. I do think with the big guy coming back, that tough defense that Indiana, which is keeps us out of our half court game. I think getting the ball to the big guy is going to break that pressure a little bit. You know, come in the next couple of games. That should help somewhat, don't you agree? Gives a little better outlet. For example, tonight, I think 10 minutes left in the game, I think we were only down by about 8 points. Got the ball into, I think, to Portis, and he got double-teamed, and he had no one to go to. We had to take the timeout, remember?
Yeah.
And then we threw it away after the timeout, and that was our second-to-last timeout. So there's a lot of ways to spin it. I think Indiana's for real. And what scares me a little bit, you know, you still can't win a championship with two ball players. You got to have, you know, points off that bench. You got to have big points. And tonight, you know, with Beasley and Crowder and Beverly and the other guy, they only had 16 points. And, you know, one of those guys was a starter. I mean, even if Giannis and Lillard, let's say they score 60, 70 points, I don't think the rest of the team is capable of scoring 30, 40 points. Do you? Offensively, I think they're just we're pretty weak at times. What do you think?
Well, and look, the big challenge, and thanks for the call, Bob, is you at least have any questions you had about Damian Lillard have been answered. I know it had been an inconsistent regular season for him. There are a lot of contributing factors to that on the court and off the court. But what you've seen in these two games from Damian Lillard is everything he was advertised to be and the exact reasons why you went out and got him. So that part is reassuring. But there is, you know, the thought of reintroducing Giannis and trying to see, okay, does that come at the expense of Damian Lillard playing at this level? That is one thing to keep in mind. It is no doubt going to help your defense if Giannis can return in this series. And on paper, it helps you immensely. You know, you were able to split these two games at home. You would have loved to be up two games to none, but you're able to get a split against a young, pretty good Indiana Pacers team. You did that without arguably the best player in the conference on the floor. And I mean, it is a big elephant in the room. Does it mean the Bucks win the series if Giannis is available for every game at the start of this series? I do think so. I mean, I think at the very most, this goes to six games if Giannis is available, just because of his skill set, how he's going to help you out on both ends of the floor. And you would, without question, have the two best players in this series. you almost never lose a series when it is slanted that much in your favor. But you don't. And you don't know when or if Giannis is going to return in this series. So we've kind of said all along, you have to approach this series with the mindset that Giannis is not going to be available. If you do get him back, great. But the thought process for these seven games, potentially seven games, is we don't have Giannis. So what do we have to do to take advantage of everybody else that we do have? And where can we exploit that against this Indiana Pacers team? You did a good job of that in game one. They did a good job. The Pacers did of counterattacking that tonight in game two. And now it's on Doc Rivers and his staff to figure out, okay, assuming we don't have Giannis Friday, and I know it's an additional 2 days of rest, who knows? What do we have to change? What do we have to do differently? Other than the obvious, if we have to make this a slower paced game, we need to utilize our size. But I think a number of times tonight, you saw Brooke Lopez pulled off the floor in favor of Pat Connaughton. And in fairness, Pat Connaughton had a very good game, I thought. But that was a recognition of this isn't working. We're not keeping up with this team. We have to shift smaller and try to get out there and defend. I don't know that that's the strategy that you can carry for these final potentially five games of this series, with or without Giannis. It's much easier and more palatable to play smaller when Giannis is your five. But when you're doing it with Bobby Portis and you got Chris Middleton or Pat Connaughton or Jay Crowder playing the four, that changes things immensely, both defensively and offensively. And those are the issues the Bucks kept running into time and time again this evening. Mike, on a cell phone, who was here tonight for the game? You're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'd say my confidence is about the same as it was entering this series. You know, it's going to be a tough uphill battle without Giannis. I would just say, like, an adjustment that we might need to make, I think, which could help both offensively and defensively, is getting, you know, the young guys in a little bit sooner. You know, maybe spelling some of these guys in the second and the third quarter. I'm not saying maybe clutch minutes, but I felt it was too late getting Ajax in there as well as Marjan. And I just feel like, I don't know if, like, they're a pariah on the team or what, but it doesn't seem like they get their fair shake to maybe spell and maybe match up better, especially on a guy like Siakam. I feel like Pat did a great job, like you said, had a great game battling with him. It kind of gave a calming presence to me in the arena that he was on him, instead of saying, you know, Lopez switching on to him and even Portis, but... I would just say I think we need to get some of those young guys in there to help both on the offense and defense. But, again, not playing into that transition battle like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Mike. I think, look, I don't anticipate that to be one of the adjustments just because I think we've seen. You know, Doc Rivers mentioned we're going to need one of these guys, maybe multiple, to contribute. It's seemed pretty apparent for the last couple of weeks that one guy is A.J. Green. And I think the reason why is simple, is the one thing that A.J. Green does best, it's an elite skill set. You know, or at least when it's clicking, it is elite. Now, could you make a case that Andre Jackson Jr.'s defense is elite? I don't think elite. You can make a case it's pretty good. But the challenge that any veteran coach has with relying on young guys. And I know A.J. Green is a young guy, but again, it's that shooting skill set that he brings. And the fact that he has more than held his own defensively. But the big thing is the shooting. That's what's going to open the door for A.J. Green in terms of playing time. His defense is going to keep him on or extend his minutes. For Andre Jackson Jr., the offense at this stage in his career is a challenge. Marjon Beauchamp probably brings the most mixture of the two, but his offense is not to the level of A.J. Green's. His defense is not to the level of Andre Jackson. And it's just a hesitation. It's not just Doc Rivers. We have the same conversations about Mike Budenholzer. Any coach, there is a big hesitation to throw young guys into the water in the postseason. It is a much different game. And I think the other thing that kind of works against Andre Jackson Jr. is we saw during the regular season his propensity for picking up fouls. You can't do that in the playoffs. You can't get into the penalty and put the other team on the bonus and at the free throw line much more frequently, whether it's a foul or not. We see young players fall victims to that. So I don't anticipate that being a big change. Now, look, I said the same thing before the series. I wonder, are there going to be opportunities for Andre Jackson Jr.? Is there going to be a game or two in this series where there's 6 minutes that you can throw Andre Jackson Jr. out there and just say, look, just go create havoc. Go defend Tyrese Halliburton. Go stick with him. Go be a pain. Go be a thorn in his side in these minutes where Pat Beverly is off the floor. And we'll see if you can stick with him, if you can avoid fouling. Maybe you even move the ball for us or you do something pretty well offensively. Maybe that means we keep you out there for a seventh minute. I don't anticipate it happening frequently. But are there a couple of moments in this series? I'm not willing to slam the door on that. But in terms of that being your biggest adjustment moving forward, I would be very surprised if we see a significant uptick consistently in minutes and opportunities in this series for Andre Jackson Jr. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a few more calls that we have to get to. We'll hear from you after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
Tonight, knocking off the Bucks 125 to 108. And again, Siakam, 36 points in game one, 37 points tonight in game two. He has outscored Damian Lillard in each of the two games this series. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Quite a few texts to get to. I asked, has your confidence in this series changed after this game tonight? And curious, too. Did it change after game one? So we'll get to some of those responses and the adjustments the Bucks need to make starting in game three as the series moves to Indiana. Let's head back to the phone lines, though, and check in with Will.i.am. You're up next.
Justin, evening, man. Hey, this is a rough game two here, but I got 2 points that I want to put up here, and then I want to hear what you got to say. I want to actually strongly disagree with your last statement about using of the bench. At this point in the game, when I watched most of that second half, our players looked gassed. And one of the things I realized is in the first half, the Pacers were going sideline to sideline on their offensive end, meaning they would have someone in the corner consistently running back and forth, exhausting our players, hitting those open corner threes, pretty much getting the Bucks' stamina level down to zero. And even though you're stating, you know, 5 to 6 minutes from the bench players, even 1 or 2 minutes of physicality and effort from the bench would play huge dividends in stopping big runs and allowing Jay, Pat, Bobby, et cetera, to get that time that they need to catch their breath. Because at the end, we're missing layups. We're throwing it off the backboard. It's looking brutal, Justin. And that is the solution and one of the reasons. The second thing I had a really big issue with tonight was a lot of the coaching tonight. I understand the ball's on the players as well. But my goodness, our sets looked atrocious. When we came out of a timeout, throwing the ball away, having no awareness, no help to come help the ball, a ball better during a playoff game, really sad to see, especially since this game was so close. And especially since we couldn't capitalize, which I know you stated on, this game is a game where we need to go deep. And as you saw with the Pacers, they utilized their bench. And their bench did provide that spark and punch. And if we don't have that, Justin, like you said, the Pacers have had our number all season long. Last caller said 5-2. Do you think that they're going to stop right now knowing that they got Pascal Siakam cooking good? These are serious things that need to get adjusted. Otherwise, more games are going to look like this, Justin. And all in all, go Bucks, man.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing is it is not an experienced Pacers team. As, you know, we've pointed to a number of times, that's one of the areas you would circle and say this is advantage Bucks. They have been in bigger spots. They have been in more postseason games than this Pacers team has. But this Pacers team, you know, sometimes you're too young to know any better. There's that that's working here, but also it's a Pacers team that has an immense amount of confidence when they see the Bucks, given what they did in the regular season, in those five matchups. So I do think that sways some of the inexperience just a little bit. But, you know, to the point that Will brought up about the bench and the role players, that was one of the things that really stood out about tonight. It's maybe not so much the bench, but your role players. You know, and look, I know they're starting. I don't mean this as a slight by any means. Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard are role players. They're starting now because Bruce Brown was traded, because Benedict Mathurin is out for the season. And I know Benedict Mathurin was coming off the bench, but he's another one you would consider there because Buddy Hield was traded. Right, the Pacers, that's the thing about this team. Next year, Tyrese Halliburton begins his Supermax extension. Pascal Siakam is a free agent, and you don't trade three first-round draft picks and then not re-sign him. So they're going to get more expensive, but they have the leeway to do that, and rounding out the backcourt is a big piece of that. But the point is, you see role players respond and play better at home than you do on the road. I don't know if discouraging is the word I would use, but that's another thing to keep in mind, is performances like this. You know, T.J. McConnell and Obi Toppin, those are guys you would look at and say, well, home games, that's when they could really stand out because those are the games where those types of players really seem to make an impact. We've talked about Bobby Portis and his differences home versus road. I think Pat Connaughton is in a similar boat. He's been more consistent home and road, though. But it's the same story with guys like that. And the Bucks just didn't get that tonight. You know, not that the Pacers' role players lit the world on fire, and especially their bench. But think about what the Bucks got from their second unit. You know, Bobby Portis starting, that changes your bench. But Malik Beasley really struggled tonight. 10 minutes, 4 points, did not make a three, only took one of them. And I think that's, you know, the one thing is you wondered what version you were going to see of a lot of players here. Malik Beasley did not play towards the back half of that playoff run for the Lakers a season ago. Just 10 minutes tonight. Now, Doc Rivers said after the game, this isn't me pulling Malik Beasley for the series. I'm going to go to him. He just didn't have a good night tonight. Jay Crowder didn't have a good night tonight. Pat Connaughton, I thought, did have a good night. A.J. Green had an okay night. Missed the only three that he attempted, but he got good looks. Just couldn't knock down those shots. Again, you know what to expect. He's a battler defensively. But the issues were beyond just the role players for the Bucks. And look, I don't disagree with the assessment of one of the reasons why, and why I think more people are in that line of thought of, you know, you need to see Andre Jackson Jr. You need to see Marjon Beauchamp for minutes in this series, is if the game is going to be played these final however many games this series takes to find its completion, if it's going to be played at the pace that we just saw, then yes, it is something that you need to entertain because of that pace and what that's going to do to the rest of this team. Damian Lillard, too, at one point had only missed 2 minutes in this game. We saw Doc Rivers wave the white flag with Dame the final 4 minutes of the game, but even then, he had missed about 4 minutes of game time. You know, you were really leaning heavily on Damian Lillard, and you saw more and more of Dame having to play off of the ball because of the way the Pacers were locked in and picking up, not just Dame, everyone, the length of the floor. That would be a disaster for the Bucks. That would spell disaster. If you cannot wrap your arms around this defensively and get this back on track and slow down the pace of this game, if games are going to be played the style that they were tonight, the Pacers are going to win this series. They're a younger team. They have more athleticism. That's the style that they play, and they are used to doing that. It's a Bucks team that we don't know if Giannis is going to play in this series. You're already down one pretty big piece. And it's not just you're down one of your starters or you're down your best player. You're down arguably the best player in the conference, maybe even the best player or at least a top three player in the league. So it's a pretty big yeah, but. But it's all about this coaching staff just figuring out how much of it is our offense putting our defense in a good spot and how much of it is, look, we just have to do things differently defensively, because what we saw tonight during game two, we cannot play that way again. We cannot let the Pacers play that way again. That's how they want to play. That's how we avoided playing in game one. It's no surprise. We won game one. They won game two playing that style. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Quite a few texts to get to as well. I see Giannis coming back for game four. Give him one more game off, because game four will probably be a must win. So I would assume that that thought process is the Bucks are going to lose game three. I don't think it's a, we'll wait to see where we're at in the series, and that's where we decide when Giannis returns. Oh, great, you won game one. You can save him for another game. Oh, you lost game two. Now we really got to push this to get him back. I don't think it's that with Giannis. I don't think it's that with any player. If you're healthy enough to play in the playoffs, you are going to play. So it's not a, hey, we just bought him a couple of days, or now we really got to expedite this. I don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know if he's going to be back in this series. You know, I think the only thing we can go off of, and again, I'll throw out the massive caveat here, that everyone is different. Every injury is different. Everyone's body reacts differently to any type of injury. I know Giannis is a super fast healer, but you can't keep relying on that every time. But I'll throw this out there. By all accounts, this is a 2 to 4 week injury. Tonight was 2 weeks from that injury. Game five, 1 week from tonight in Milwaukee, that will be 3 weeks from the injury. 4 weeks from the injury, that would dip into the second round. So it could be at any of those checkpoints that we see Giannis. But where the Bucks are at in the series, I don't think that determines when and if we see Giannis make his return here. Pacers were due to win a playoff game, so the Bucks had to play against the odds. Indiana did what they do best, which is run and run and run. A 10-game losing streak, as that texter is alluding to, in the playoffs that the Pacers had. And, yeah, I mean, those always come to an end at some point. But there was a lot more to this than just the Pacers being due for a win. Bucks need to play like they want to win. They did that in game one. Stay in the game like after the flagrant instead of giving up what could have been a 1 or 2 point game, but decide to allow it to get to a 12-point game. And now I see why the Bucks wanted Giannis. He only plays 1/8 of the games each and every year. Another injury-prone season. Giannis does not. Giannis has been one of the more durable players in the league, and especially this season. So, look, my question was, I'm not sure what your level of confidence was coming into this series. It didn't seem like it was at a very, very high level. As I talked about with a few people in Indianapolis, I don't know if pessimism is the right word, but this was the least confident Bucks fans had been going into a playoff series in 6 years. And look, there's a lot to that. The Giannis injury is the biggest piece of it. So I think that's the unfortunate part, is I would have been more curious to see what the confidence level was if this team was fully healthy. But it did seem like everything was shifting to Indiana is going to win this. Every prognosticator, every expert you heard from was picking the Indiana Pacers to win this series. They were the favorites to win game one. They were the favorites to win the series just before game one. And then you were reminded, look, you still have Damian Lillard, and this is why you got him. And I think that lifted everyone's spirits. It maybe lifted the confidence as well, not of the players, of fans we're talking about here. And now tonight happens, and it felt not exactly a replica, but closer to anything we've seen in this series to what we saw in the regular season. So I'm most curious, has that once again reframed and shifted your overall outlook on this series? Because you are now in the exact same spot you were a season ago. 1-1, moving in to your road games. Last year, you lost game one, you won game two. in blowout fashion. You lost games 3 and 4 in Miami. The game 4 loss was especially disturbing, the way you watched a 20-point lead evaporate and then almost identical results in game 5 in a series where you were closed out in 5 games as the 1 seed in the first round. Now, it's worth pointing out, you know, for all intents and purposes, Giannis did not play in the first 3 games of that series. He missed games 2 and 3 last year. Only played in about 10 minutes of game 1 before suffering that back injury. He did return in game 4. Does he return in game 3 for this series? Does he return in game 4? Do we see him at all? Those are the questions I don't have the answers to. None of us have the answers to. But there is more to it than just having Giannis on the floor winning this series for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still some more texts and calls to get to. We'll hear those and wrap up the show after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
Well, the Pacers have evened the series, their first playoff win since 2018. Pascal Siakam with a transcendent performance. Miles Turner very good. So was Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith. And it's the Pacers drawing even now as this series shifts to Indianapolis for Game 3 Friday afternoon. Make note of that tip time. That is a 4:30 local time tip, meaning our pregame coverage begins at 4 in the afternoon on Friday. A couple of more texts to get to here as I asked, where's your confidence level after this game? I can see deja vu like last year with the Heat. Bucks giving up and losing in game 5. I feel like our team is slower because we are older, and I think we may need to be stuck in a feedback loop in which order to be competitive. We trade picks for veteran players. We don't have younger players to grow. Confidence level at a 3 without Giannis. With Giannis, it's a 5. And a question about Malik Beasley as well. Should he be out there more, getting more minutes? Use the bench better. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in one more phone call here. Check in with Al in Milwaukee.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Al?
Hey, it's going well. No, the confidence level is fine and better. I don't know why everyone feels we have to have Giannis. Here's my observation. Game 1, Dame Lillard scored 0 points in the second half. The entire Bucks team means they scored all of the points without a point from Damian Lillard. Tonight, we did not get that type of support, and we didn't get back defensively. If we take a copy from game 1 as far as what all of the other contributors contributed, then we're looking fine. We cannot constantly act as though, because Giannis is not there, that woe is me. These Milwaukee Bucks have been there. They've done that. And they need to rally around themselves, work with what they have, and understand what they can do. This is not about, let's look at Indiana and let us be afraid of them. Indiana needs to go and say, what are we going to do to stop them? Dame Lillard didn't score a point in the second half, and we still lost. We need to take that as a positive, meaning everybody chipped in and let everybody come to the deck and all hands do what they need to do. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Al. And I agree. And look, my mindset all along has been you have to approach this with the mindset that you don't have Giannis. If he comes back, great. But we are of the mindset we're playing this series without Giannis. And to that point that Al made of, look, this is still the Milwaukee Bucks, who are now 3 years removed from a championship, who have a lot of that core still intact. You have Chris Middleton in the mix. You hope to get Giannis back in the mix. You got Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, who are big pieces of that championship run. I understand it's an older team. But, you know, Damian Lillard went on deeper runs in the Western Conference with a supporting cast that was not as talented or good as what he has now, even without Giannis. And I think that's what we were reminded of in Game 1. Game 2 was a reminder of you can't just roll the balls out there and win, right? You're not just going to win because you're the more experienced team. You still have to stick to the game plan. The Bucks did a tremendous job of doing that in Game 1. They did not here. And it was from the opening moments. Again, I know everything was going all great for the Bucks. It was all well and good when Dame was hitting threes and so was Brook Lopez. The pace. I think we mentioned it a couple of times on the game broadcast. The pace was the problem. It was too many points. It was too many possessions in the first 8 minutes of that opening quarter. That was exactly how the Indiana Pacers want to play this game and wanted to play this game tonight. And they did it for 48 minutes, and they won the game. So how do you shift that back to a slower pace in the way that you played Sunday night for game number 3? If you lose the game on Friday, it doesn't mean the series is over. Now, we pointed this out before the game. 76% of the time, the team that wins Game 1 in a best-of-seven series goes on to win that series. 76% of the time. For the Bucks, this was the seventh time. Looking at 2019 playoffs onward, so the last 6 years, this was the seventh time they have won Game 1 of their series. They're 4-2 in the previous six. Right, those two losses. They beat the Boston Celtics in the second round in a series they played without Chris Middleton. Pretty big caveat there. That was one of those losses. And they beat the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals in 2019. When, look, in hindsight, I think we all realize the Raptors were just a better team. Right? The Celtics were a better team because you were undermanned. The Raptors were a better team. Those were the two times the Bucks lost. Now, it is going to be a challenge, especially if it's without Giannis. But let's not lose sight of the fact that you still have Damian Lillard. You still have Chris Middleton. You still have that veteran group. But you need contributions from your role players. And you need to be the team that dictates the pace and the physicality. That is the only way the Bucks are going to win this series. Even if Giannis does not step foot on the floor in any of these games played in the first round, that's the only way the Bucks are going to win this series. A couple of more texts to get to here. Do you think the Pacers got into the Bucks' head this game? No. I think what Doc Rivers said after the game was pretty accurate. The Bucks were the more physical team in game number 1. The Pacers were the more physical team in game number 2. Did that catch the Bucks off guard? I don't think so. Pacers are confident against the Bucks. You know, that's the other thing to keep in mind. Even if they're inexperienced in the postseason, they are a confident team against this team. Would like to see more zone with Brook Lopez. I think he's getting lost on defense, a man-to-man. He does better when they move to a zone. So that is one interesting component. We saw a little bit of it in Game 1. I don't remember seeing any of that tonight. But that is something to keep an eye on for Game 3 because, look, you're going to leave yourself vulnerable to outside shots and three-pointers in a zone. Theoretically, you're going to take away some of those looks in the paint. And again, Pacers were an okay three-point shooting team. They played at a very, very rapid pace, but they scored in the paint from getting up and down the floor, getting layups and dunks. Not so much threes. They were just an okay in terms of their performance, shooting-wise. We saw in Game 1, Aaron Nesmith, you're going to let him take threes. He went 3 of 8 tonight. Pascal Siakam, though, that was the big difference. I said before the game, couldn't help but wonder if, granted, no Giannis changes how you're going to match up defensively, but you couldn't help but wonder if seeing Brook Lopez on Pascal Siakam, if that was by design to say, we want the ball moving through him because we think if that's the case, Pacers are going to play at a much slower pace, or at least a slower pace than they would everything running through Tyrese Halliburton. And look, you see it with that type of position and score. When that's the guy that gets going and the offense is funneling through him, more often than not, you're not getting other guys involved. The offense isn't flowing. And that's what we saw on Sunday in game one. He wasn't a distributor. He wasn't getting his teammates involved. It's not so much a knock on Pascal Siakam. He was taking what the Bucks gave him. But nobody else was getting involved. Tonight, other guys were getting involved. He had three of his 4 3-pointers. He was a facilitator. He had 6 assists, 11 rebounds. He simply did everything tonight, did Pascal Siakam. So I do wonder, do you see more zone in game three? To say, look, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard went 1 of 3 on his threes. Tyrese Haliburton still wasn't that guy. You know, 12 points tonight from Tyrese Haliburton. He went 3 of 7 on his threes. Obi Toppin went 1 of 5. It was really Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner that really killed you. And Ben Shepherd, of all players. Those were the guys that killed you knocking down the outside shot. So you do wonder, do we see more zone? And saying, I know it leaves us vulnerable to outside shooting. We're fine with it. If it's these three guys, we don't think you're going to consistently continue to hit those shots. Playoffs are all about responses. How do you make adjustments? What is your answer? What do you do differently? And now it's going to be crucial to see what the Bucks' responses are to this game. Again, it's not over. I know we've seen a few people point back to, hey, this is deja vu to last year. If you take at least one game in Indiana, it's a much different series where you have once again stolen the home court. Even if you split, it now becomes a best-of-three series. And again, kicking the can down the road, the biggest positive from that for a long series would be increasing the chances that you see Giannis make his return in this first round. Friday afternoon, when this series resumes, it's the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. Game 3 from Indianapolis. Make note of the tip time. 4:30 in the afternoon. 4 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.